Three, two, you want to finish it?
One.
Hey-o. What's up, brother?
Howdy.
Howdy.
It is good to be back.
It is good. Well, it's good to be in the studio. You know, we've been in this quarantine situation. I haven't really been able to podcast. I've done a few now, but it's nice to be back in here. We were doing a lot of Zoom stuff.
Wow, there's like 6 feet there, you know.
Give me a hug, man. I'm over it. I'm done.
I think most people are. Yeah. I think most people are.
I guess. I think it almost seems like there was this group that liked. I feel like there's a big group of people that like being in quarantine. I feel like they like the fact that businesses can't open, and I feel like they like the fact that people can't come here.
Yeah, and I'm afraid that those people don't understand the ripples and repercussions of all this. I mean, this is, it has definitely been one of the most challenging things that I've been through personally.
Me too. And dude, I fought some shit.
Yeah.
This is definitely, well, and now we're at this place, you know, and now the, it doesn't take a genius to kind of figure this stuff out and make sense. We need humans. Humans need humans. We build our strength off of, you know, breathing in other people's bugs and stuff. That's what makes us strong. And then to quarantine us, look, I'm not going to debate whether it was good to do it or not. It's easy to look back and say it wasn't. At the time, it definitely seemed like a good idea. I was on board.
It did. And we actually closed the gym down before they even announced that gyms were supposed to close down. Mm-hmm. We're like, you know what? We're for the good of the community, we're going to close the doors. And that was back in mid-March.
March 15th, I think it was. I did the same thing.
I think we closed March 12th.
Well, and the funny thing was they announced a list of people that could be open and essential and non-essential. And in the very beginning list, hair salons were essential. Hair, beauty care. And I was like, oh, okay. But then I was like, and you know, Carlos, and he closed down on that Friday. And he's like, listen, if we don't all close down, we're never going to get reopened. And so I was like, you're absolutely right. So I closed down that Friday. I was on board. I mean, listen, it was scary. It was weird. I had, like you, I mean, and I'm a little older than you, and I haven't gone through anything like this.
I don't think anyone has.
No. It was a little unnerving.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and it was a bunch of math for us. You know, we have 27 people that depend on us.
Right.
Between both companies.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a bunch of what's the bare minimum we can get by on? How do we keep paying everybody the entire time? Because, you know, my thing from the onset was like, no one will go on unemployment. Like, right. I'm not going to lay somebody off. Like, that's not, and I'm not saying that it's bad to lay people off, but personally, and not to get into the political arena, but, you know, like, I'm a card-carrying libertarian, and I'm like, people should take care of each other.
Sure.
And what sort of libertarian help each other out, like, protect each other's liberties, would I be if I'm like, you know what, y'all can just go to the government now, and they'll take care of you. I'm done with you for a bit because this little, like, dark cloud is upon us.
Right. Well, and there were some things to figure out in that, too, because in the I remember when that list came out and, you know, all the people that could work were like, yeah. And all the people that couldn't work were like, how the fuck am I going to figure out how to work? I'm gonna have to do something. And then as time went by and we kind of settled into it, then all of a sudden the people that had to work were like, shit, how come I have to work?
Right, right. So, or they're like, wait, how come they're getting $1,000 a week and I'm only whatever?
Well, and then, you know, I know some people that believed in the same sort of philosophy you did, keep our people working, but then they cut their pay by 25%.
No.
And I'm like, if you're going to, that's fucked up.
And
so it's tough. It's
and I don't, and I don't know, like, I don't know what the financial, like, what their financial situation was. We actually, we were fortunate in that Decal Girl, our other business, was able to keep operating because it's manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
It is not public facing, like there's no interaction.
Right.
And we could run it with a skeleton crew. So we just staggered shifts and, you know, implemented some practices. But I sent a letter to Carney right before, as the shutdowns were kind of looming and Pennsylvania had shuttered everything, including manufacturing.
Mm.
And I'm like, if we shut down this printing equipment, like all this stuff we have, and just walk away from it for 3 weeks, $100,000, $150,000 worth of equipment that's just dead. because the systems just have to be run every day, every couple of days. Like right. the ink dries up in them and things just go bad. Yep. And I'm like, we'll literally never, we've been in business 17 years. We'll never recover from this.
It's like airplanes.
Yes. Yeah. They still have to keep moving. Yep. You know, it just, it does it good to start the engine.
Yep.
And then, you know, the gym initially, we were like, okay, we'll shut down. We just want you guys to come up and work a little bit, help us out with some maintenance projects, you know, clean the equipment, reseal the floors, scrub the rock wall, do whatever it is. And then as things started getting more and more severe, remember those first couple of weeks, mm-hmm. We were just like, stay home.
Yeah.
You know, we have employees that come in from out of state and, you know, you have issues like, okay, they're coming from out of state, but it's a non-essential business, just minimum basic operations and, you know, towing that line and what do you do? And at the end of the day, it was just, you know, take care of them.
Yeah. And at one point, eventually you have to decide, listen, it probably would be better if you were on unemployment for a little bit.
I didn't do it.
You didn't do it.
Did not do it.
So what was the reaction? Because I know that some people might have been the people that are being cut 25% in their pay, I think, listen, if that's how it is, put them on unemployment till you get your business back up and running and then bring them back on. It has benefits in both ways. I don't think unemployment insurance, I mean, as a business, as my business, I pay into it.
So do we.
Yeah, and I'm the only employee. So, and I didn't even file for unemployment until the very end, like the week before I came back to work, because I was like, shit, maybe I can get back pay because I pay into it.
Right.
It's not about shame, really. It's not.
Well, and it's, and I'm not saying that it is shame. It was
it
just.
It feels that way to me. You know, like, I feel like, God, I don't want to go on unemployment. I mean, I feel that it's built into me a little bit.
It was, you know, and I think at one point when I was 20, I was between jobs and I went to go for unemployment and just didn't follow through with it. I was like, I'll do something. I think I ended up working at McDonald's or some fast food restaurant.
Right.
Arby's, I think, over in Millsboro.
I worked at Arby's.
Hey, there you go.
I love Arby's.
Just for me, it was, you know, when we shut down, that was the other thing, is we were very vocal about why we were shutting down. And we asked people to keep their memberships active because I'm like, look, it's not to line my pockets.
Right.
Like, it costs a certain amount to have a facility like that, whether it be the mortgage payment, the utilities, the insurance, things like that, that, yes, we might be able to stretch out a little bit, but also to retain that staff that we've kind of groomed and cultivated over the years. And so the first and foremost, and we insure them, like, they have medical insurance through us. And I just wanted to make sure that they were taken care of so that when we got on the other side of this thing, I could be like, okay,
so
it's time to come back.
Is you took the hit.
I did. Right. Oh yeah.
So there's, you know,
dramatically,
some people don't want to take a hit. You know, you took the hit and I, you know what, as much as I would love to spend this hour reminiscing about the shit show we've just gone through the last 8 weeks, I just love all the other shit you're doing. I want to hear about the plans of getting the gym back open, you know, your thoughts on, you know, how I feel like that this coronavirus, you know, clearly it was bad, but I think it exposed a lot of other stuff about Americans. Mm-hmm. Like it or not, people may not want to hear it, but it's really shown that there's a giant portion of America that does not take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And they become susceptible, and we're changing our lives for that group. And whatever, I mean, if it hurts feelings, I'm sorry. Listen, I've had my moments. I'm not in the most fantastic shape, but I'm trying. I think it's been a real eye-opener. I feel like this was kind of a disease of the gluttonous, and it kind of just attacked gluttony kind of stuff. And I want to start talking about how we're going to get better and what can we do. You know, I've watched a lot of, you know, Joe Rogan had this fantastic guy on yesterday, and it was all about immunity, building up our immunity, taking better care of ourselves. You know, this mask thing, these people want to wear these masks forever. It's like, it's important that I get a little of you. You know, it's important that we breathe that stuff. And that's what builds our immunity. That's what keeps us strong. We're going to become, I mean, when this is all, when the mask wave gets over, we're all going to get sick.
Yeah.
And it ain't going to be the coronavirus. It's just going to be the flu and the cold.
Right, right.
So you provide a service to a lot of people in this town, which is helping taking better care of themselves. And I'm sure you're excited to let people start doing that again.
I am. Some people are not so excited about it. Imagine that. How dare? The employees are all good. What was the comment today? Was I put something up and I said, "Do you miss us?" And it was just a picture of one of these new treadmills that we had gotten literally 2 days after we shut down. These things have been ordered for 3 months because I just wanted this really cool running experience. If you're stuck inside running on a motorized belt, let's at least give you some scenery and some stuff to do.
Yes.
Right? Yep. So it was a picture of one of those. And it says, "Do you miss us yet?" And it was announcing officially that June 1st would be open and that we're looking forward to having everybody back. And, you know, obviously, do you miss us? And the response from one person was, "Nope, y'all have fun getting that corona to each, or the COVID to each other." And I'm like, there's got to be that person.
Absolutely.
You know, but I left it up. Yeah, you know, I'm not going to go in there and delete it. That's her opinion.
Yeah.
You know.
I agree. I mean, there's I like that falls into that group. There's a group of people that really like being sick,
yeah.
And they like the fear, and they like the distancing. I think there's I don't know. I'll even admit it. I've had moments where when this was kind of going on that I was like, you know, we don't want these people coming down here to go to the beach, you know, thinking that it's about protecting us, and really it's about like traffic.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to get honest with myself and say, "What's your fucking problem, man?" You know, but I've fallen into this weird dark spot. And I had to kick myself, get back to work. It was a little challenging. 50 years is the wrong year to be telling me I can stay home for 8 weeks. And I had to start getting back to the reality is that I live in a beach community, and this is what we do.
It is. It is. And we depend on those people coming down here to support our economy. So, I mean,
we do.
Not only is it in tatters right now because everybody's shut down, but you know, the small population we have cannot support the industries that, you know, we have, especially the hospitality industry.
Well, and that's changed over the years. I mean, 15, 20, I mean, when I moved here, it was definitely a seasonal town, but it's 25 not, years later, we
do have a bunch, but it is tourist driven. I mean, we are a resort town.
We're a beach.
Yeah.
A great beach.
Yeah.
And we have great stuff. And it's the great stuff that we have. You know, doggy ice cream and these weird things that are down the avenue, they're there for the tourists.
Yeah.
And it allows them to be to open these cool businesses because people like that come down.
Yeah.
This is about when I stopped going to Rehoboth, unfortunately. You know, in a usual typical year, the crowds, Memorial Day shows up and I let the crowds have the town.
I was just kind of bummed that I couldn't get out there lately because it'd been shut down.
Oh, dude, I'm very bummed. It all sucked.
Yeah.
But we're
yeah, we're on, well, it's the other side of it. Like, well, we're coming and on the other side of it now.
Listen, we're friends.
Yeah.
We don't hang out. I mean, we're friends. I know if I needed something.
I keep bugging Carlos. I was like, I need to come for a run with you guys, but I'm not that fast. I'm more of a... That's what he said. He's like, "You're faster than he is." So I'm like, okay, I'm right between the two of you.
But I'm not fast, and I don't care about being fast. It's really, you know, I've always been a guy that runs with people. I'm just not, I'll run by myself. It took a partner to get me to a point where I could still run by myself, and I will, but not as much as I used to. I always say I'm happy now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a time where I was sad and, you know, lost, and I needed to find it through running, and whether it's weightlifting or whatever we do, I had to find it through running, and I was running a lot, but I'm happy. So, and I'm not really concerned about being a little heavy at some point, you know? So
same.
It's hard for me to motivate myself, and Carlos, corporate Sea Dog, has been a great inspiration to me because he doesn't run, but he wants to try it, and mm-hmm. he's doing it, and he's fucking miserable. And he's like, you know, but there's a lot of stuff through exercise and through running that is a lot more than just building up a muscle or an endurance.
No, you know, releases the endorphins. You, your immunity, like your immune system. That was one of the things. So I've not lifted much over the past 3 months because, honestly, it's depressing. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're used to this energy with all these people around, and you know, training with other people and lifting, it's really depressing when it's just quiet and dust is gathering on stuff. So, but I would try, you know, 3 to 5 times a week to do 30 minutes of some sort of cardio. So, I mean, resting heart rate's at like 48 right now, but I couldn't tell you what I'm squatting or benching, you know, haven't tried that.
A lot of that stuff, it's great for, with you have a little bit of an audience. You know, I know for me, I run and I'll post a picture. Mm-hmm. Someone likes it. Okay, I'll do it again tomorrow. Right. You know, it's, I hate to admit that, but there's, you know, some audience is, it helps. It's nice to have a little bit of people cheering you on.
Well, you saw, what was it, Randy? Was, I put that picture up of the gallery wall I did. And Randy was like, have you seen Tom's pictures? And I was like, yes. Yeah, I see him all the time and I need to be out there running with him. But yes, he does take great shots. Funny.
Well, that's why I reached out to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we'll talk about photography. I was about to go start typing all this stuff. I'm like, nah, it's not important. I'm not a photographer. I'm a runner with an iPhone. I always say anybody can take a great picture. It's about being at the right place at the right time.
Correct.
And not many people are running at 5:30 in the morning. Nope. When the sun rises. So that eliminates 9 out of 10.
Yep.
And so that's why people think I'm a great photographer, because I'm just taking pictures of shit nobody else is taking pictures of.
Hey, man, you've seen my pictures out there at the beach at, you know, 5:30 o'clock, you know, 5:30 p.m., a.m., whatever it takes to get the sunrise or sunset.
Well, and I guess we'll talk a little bit about photography, because I'll get your opinion. You know, I'm tired. I love the beach. I love the pictures of the beach. But it's like, turn around. What's behind you? What can you capture that's, you know, I did a whole series of pictures last year when I was doing some biking of, you know, it was pictures of people sitting on the beach watching the sunrise. And so it would be sand, different people, and then the sunrise. Mm-hmm. And it was always about how many people enjoy it. And then I did everything directly behind me. So, like, there's some great hotels along the beach. When the sun's rising, there's one, I don't know what it's called, but it's just all windows. And if you get it at the right time, you basically get the whole sunrise, but in reflections.
Is it the Henlopen at the very end?
No, it's actually to the other end.
Okay.
It's like one of the first big hotels towards and south, I guess.
Okay.
But that's a great picture. Nobody takes that picture. You know, 5,000 people take pictures of the sunrise, and I'm like, what else is there to take pictures of? You know, so that's where I started getting into some of that. And what I've liked about some of the stuff you're doing, it's not all just the beach.
No. No, I like clouds. I like the sky.
Clouds are the shit, man.
They are, man.
You know me, I'm a time-lapse guy.
Yes.
I love a good time-lapse.
Did you see that one I did a couple of months ago?
Yeah.
It was just the clouds across the street.
I'm
going to
look
house.
At this motherfucker. I got to get my time-lapse back. No, I love it. I'm not vested in it. I mean, I use a little GoPro. I used to, my favorite time-lapse was, I used to have an old iPhone. They, to me, do the best time-lapse. But you have to, you know, you have to have a spare one. And by the time I get a spare one, the batteries are struggling and
right.
shit. So I got the GoPro, which does a nice time lapse, but it has a fisheye lens. So to capture light, it doesn't really capture the colors and stuff. And to point it at it, you're actually getting like half
right.
landscape, half sky. If you tilt it more to the sky, you're really losing, because it fisheyes it out. So it's not my favorite camera for time lapse. If it's just watching clouds change and contrails, you know, I think I sent you a message one day.
You did, because I was like, wow, look, it's like a sawtooth going yeah. across there.
Well, Mondays are the day the planes fly.
Yeah. The sky, I mean, occasionally it's just clear and blue, which, mm-hmm. yeah, okay, it's nice. But I prefer some chaos up there.
Well, and it's funny because you don't pay attention, but when you start paying attention, you learn that a lot of different things go on, how... You know, these contrails and the planes, like on Mondays, planes fly. A lot of traveling down the coast on Mondays. I can set it up and it's boom, 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 one after the other. Like at sunset, it may look like perfectly clear night, like, oh, this isn't going to be much. And as that sun hits the atmosphere, this shit just starts forming.
Yeah.
And you would have never even seen it. So it's fun when you start paying attention to the clouds and the shit that goes on.
It is. And I mean, I think it goes more than that. It's just you, there's so much interesting stuff out there that, you know, everyone is so consumed with looking at their phone or doing this and are in a rush to get here or there that they don't actually look at what's around them.
No, I agree.
And that's when I started getting into photography. That's kind of where it clicked for me is, you know, here's these moments that nobody else is going to see. You know, it's never going to be the same, especially the sky. Like, it will never be the same again. No one will ever have this exact same vantage point and see what I'm seeing.
Right.
So let me capture it.
Yep.
You know,
I did. So I get up early. I take a lot of crazy shots, and I'm not doing as much now, but I have a lot of unique shots. And but they're like with my iPhone, mm-hmm. which takes fine pictures. It's, you know, it's
iPhones not, are great pictures.
Yeah, it's, yeah. It captures it. It's not going to be posted in a gallery, but it's fun. But now I see like a few people, and I'm gonna keep everybody anonymous, but and it isn't you. But people are taking the same shot that I've been taking.
Yes.
I know. It's,
yeah.
Listen, it could be me just making this shit up in my own head. Well, no, but I'm like, listen, I used to take that shot a lot, and I'd never seen it, and now it's being professionally done.
But there are certain people that, whether it's intentional or otherwise.
Right.
You know, like when I went to...
I take it as a compliment.
To the Delicate Arch in Utah, in Moab. Uh-huh. I took a particular shot. Everybody takes the same shot. Like right. it just, when you're there, when you're like, wow, that is actually
these were not,
nice.
These weren't particular. This is like out on a bike at 5 a.m, certain things happen. One of the shots I did a series of art. We have some great bridges in Rehoboth.
We do.
So like at night, or early morning, you can get some great shots. Cause you know, if all the bulbs are lit and they have them all fixed and stuff, you get some great shots. There's only so many things you can take pictures of here in Rehoboth.
True.
I mean, you got...
And you can't travel right now, so...
You can't travel. I might be making it up in my head a little bit, but I feel like some...
It's a conspiracy.
But, you know, if that's the case, you know, it's a compliment. If it's not, I'm delusional, but it's... that's why I'm glad I'm not a professional photographer. I'm just a guy.
I just like taking pictures, man.
Well, I'm like, you know what's a great place to take pictures in, and I haven't seen you take many yet, is of Gordon's Pond.
False.
I haven't seen them.
Okay, you've not seen them. I actually have a whole series of ones I've done down in Gordon's Pond. Moonrise, sunset, sunrise, some of the stuff with the tower, some of the things with wildlife in Gordon's Pond itself. I actually have one hanging in my bathroom. It's a 16 by 20 that's this lone heron with the sun coming up behind him. Really cool looking shot. That's so scenic down there.
Oh, dude, when I was seriously into running, I would go down there at like, I'd meet my buddy James. It'd be pitch black. And we would leave from the parking lot. And just as you start turning that turn to get to that bridge, that sun would come up. And man, for many years, there was this cool dead tree that was in the water. I don't know if you remember it. It's probably, we had a big nor'easter come through a couple winters ago that cleared out when they washed out the trail and all that shit. And it washed my little tree away. But this cool little stick, but you know, it was basically a tree without any leaves. It was laying in the marsh. But I would take all these pictures with this tree, and it was just so beautiful over there. And then the tree got taken away, and then I got happy again.
no more morose tree. You're like, no, that was my sad tree. It's gone.
Yeah. Well, and there's such great reflections. I've done some cool drone stuff out there.
Yeah.
I did this one drone shot, and it just basically looked like the one island was just floating in clouds.
I am so we just did get the Mavic Air 2 in, and we're doing skins for it right now, so I've yet to play with it. We're almost done development. As soon as that's done, I cannot wait to take that thing up, because a 48 megapixel camera gives me a lot of stuff to play with.
Well, that was the drone I did all my stuff with, and I lost it trying to steal a shot that had already been taken. I was actually, there was a crop plane spraying the crops over towards Epworth, and I live over by Wolf Neck.
Yeah.
And I could hear, and I'm like, oh, that bitch, I'm coming. And off it went. I'm flying across neighborhoods, and because I was trying to get that picture of the spray spinning off the wings that, what's his name got? You know, our famous local photographer that's got himself in a jam.
Oh, Fleming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck, Kevin. but he has that great shot of that crop duster that's coming down over the fields, and the spray is like tornadoing off the wingtips. And I'm like, I wonder if I can get that. So off my Mavic went. Best drone I've ever had. Got it over there. Taking all sorts of shots. It's like warning me, battery low. I'm like, come on, babe. And on the way back, it just died and landed in top of like this 100-foot maple tree.
No.
And it's still there. I couldn't get it. And that was a $1,000 drone. And I was like,
The memory card is still up there someplace.
Yeah.
One of these days.
The funny thing is, so I got another, I'm like, well, fuck, I'm not spending another $1,000 on a drone. So I bought a Mavic Air. I'm like, what's the big difference, right? And there's a big difference. I still have it. In fact, it's fine, but it's not. capturing a lot of great shit.
That's why I want to see the Air 2 and see how that is.
Oh, yeah. Those cameras are shit.
I've played a bunch with the Pro 2. I've got like the little filter kits that go on so I can get up and use the neutral density filters to darken it down and still get stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
right down the rabbit hole.
So I got this Mavic Air and I flew it up top of the tree to try to find the other drone. And it's a little fish-eyed. So it's like, you just can't get perspective from a drone above a tree because I'm looking at it and it looks close. And the drone, it's showing I'm in the woods. So I'm like, forget it. I don't want to lose this drone. So I pulled it out and just said, nice knowing you.
Yeah. Be like, it'll come down at some point. Yeah. Somebody will find the memory card and start posting pictures. And you'd be like, that was my shot.
Yeah.
I mean, it was his shot, it was my shot.
I don't know if I'd really gotten anything good. It was just an attempt. Right. I didn't want to, like, fly my drone into this guy's airplane and be...
Yeah.
Dude!
Yeah. What did you do?
We live in a great place for photography. Very lucky, very blessed.
We do. There are a bunch of people out there that take some really, really, really cool stuff.
I noticed you do a lot of moonshots, and I always say that's the day that every amateur photographer, you know, loves but hates because nobody can ever get a great picture of the moon unless you have
like
great
the super
equipment.
Lens. Yes. Yeah. That was hence the reason I drive a Jeep now, not a fancy car. I was like, well, let's just put the money into camera equipment.
Yeah. What are you shooting with now?
Most of the time a Sony a7 R4.
Yeah.
So the moon shots are usually with their 200 to 600 millimeter lens. If it's bright enough, then I'll use a teleconverter on it to punch in even further.
Yeah.
And it's just trying to get the shutter speed as fast as possible while keeping the ISO low so you don't get a bunch of noise and grain.
See, I thought you had to let the shutter stay open.
No.
It's not that way.
So it is that way if you're doing kind of a long exposure shot at night. So the ones I posted of the Indian River Inlet Bridge with that flower moon coming up over top of it.
Yeah, that was nice.
Those were about a 2.5 second exposure. And the reason I did that is I had the aperture kind of dialed down because I wanted everything crisp. I did not want like a single focus point. I didn't want it blown out either.
Right.
So when you're trying to get a shot of the moon, ideally, you're going to be at like 1/125th of a second or faster.
Okay.
Because it moves so quick. That's why they look blurry. In order to do that, you've got to have your aperture as wide open as possible to let more light in so you can capture more light in that, you know, 1/125th of a second.
Right.
So it's math. I mean, that was one of the fun things to learn was to kind of play with it and figure out what works, what doesn't work. What is actually a lot of fun is shooting the moon during the day when it's up.
Right.
Because there's so much light, then you can go even faster with the shutter speed and then it is stopped for all intents and purposes. So some of the crispest moon shots I have were actually taken in broad daylight.
So this camera, cause I have a Sony, it's probably the 10-year-old version of that, I think, kind of camera. It's like a digital but also mechanical kind of camera. It's not just a digital, right?
Right.
It goes chick-chick. It has a shutter.
Yeah, it does. But it's a mirrorless one. So,
right.
You know, you're not looking through and seeing what it's got the viewfinder and stuff like that. Yeah.
So I think it was an A2?
Yeah.
So I had that. Awesome camera. Mm-hmm. I freaking love that camera. And actually, I bought it at the Sony outlet. So I think it was a little touched. But it was a great camera. And what I loved most about that camera is that you can actually just transfer everything right to your phone. It has a great interface when you want to download. For me, that camera did. I've had several that aren't as well.
It is clunky now.
Is it?
So it was probably really good back then. But as software has gotten better and better, now it's still...
It's gotten better and better, and it's gotten worse.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, when I used it, it was very nice. I think it had the Sony memory. I forget the name of the app, but it was just, I could just tie right to the phone, and it would just transfer the photos over, and then I could post them and do whatever I want. I think one of the biggest challenges for those kind of cameras is that can you post your pictures easily, or do you have to put them on a computer and then all this other stuff?
And that is one of the nice things about it. So if I take something and want, you know, kind of real time, I can just shoot it over to the phone.
Yeah.
And it, again, the software's gotten better in terms of like Lightroom Mobile, so I can pull it in and do some adjustments or something right there, and then just post it versus having to go back, plug it into the laptop or whatever.
Well, the other thing I loved about that camera is I think when I bought it, it came with like a zoom lens and then like a little flat lens.
Yep.
And I could take that camera, strap it, just throw it over my back, you know, mm-hmm. put the strap and just center the camera in my back and run. It wasn't like banging around. It would just kind of fit my back and it wasn't a big deal, but it took fantastic shots. A lot of the shots I was talking about over in Gordon's Pond were shot with that Sony camera and it was very good.
Yeah,
I still have it.
I love mine. I've got 4 Sony camera bodies now.
Yeah.
Every one serves a different purpose. And I know that kind of goes against conventional wisdom, but you know, here's my run and gun. Like I've got an A6600, which is their kind of entry consumer level, like $1,000-ish camera that uses the same lenses as the big one, but it's a much cheaper camera. It's a little bit simpler, still works great. It's a crop sensor instead of a full frame sensor, so the images aren't quite as big. But I carry it around in my backpack with me every day with, right. you know, just, I think, like a 35-millimeter lens. And if I see something, I'll pull over to the side of the road and just take the shot.
There's a great shot. I'm gonna suggest it and see what you can do. So right across the street is a farm field.
Yep.
So to the left is a tree by itself, a big-ass tree.
Mm-hmm.
And then this huge forest behind it. And I think that if that was shot right, I think that would be a pretty amazing shot with the, you know, the forest in the background by its out of focus or, you know, a little blurry.
Yeah.
Check it out one of these days. Okay. When you're driving. Take a look. Because that's every morning I drive by and I'm like, I'm going to walk out in that damn field and get that shot. Because I just think it would be, you know, people don't realize that, you know, you'll see a tree out in a field. A lot of the times there's gravestones around it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize that they're old cemeteries or a lot of trees mark off property.
Yeah.
And so they're like, why the hell is just a stupid tree in the middle of a field?
And it's funny because that's one of the things I follow a photographer over in Germany. And he's done a couple of shots with a single tree in a field. And I'm like, wow, that actually is a really cool composition with the clouds behind it. And I'm like, yep. If only there was a field around here that had a single tree I could go take a picture of.
There's one right there. Check it out. And there's another one. And I don't know the name of the road, but if you go down 24, and you know, as you come by, like through Peddler's Village,
yep.
past the fire station, through that intersection, up the hill, past the pond. The pond, actually, I don't see a lot of people. Every time I drive by that pond at sunset, that is a fantastic shot with that reflection. Mm-hmm. I don't see anybody take that picture, probably because it's hard to stop there.
Yeah.
That'd be a great shot. And then you come up and then you make that next right between both those fields that are under construction. Mm-hmm. Down to the next intersection, make the left and go down there. And there's another one down there that's just as beautiful.
Huh.
Big, huge tree out in the middle of like a field. This one, though, is surrounded by tombstones.
That would be a cool shot. Just,
mm-hmm.
just the mist on the ground in the morning, with black and white. Yeah.
But, you know, there's one of the things I find most fascinating about photography is really, there's a sunrise. But what's going on? You know, what is this about? Like, why is this tree here? You know, I don't think, like I said, a lot of people don't realize that a lot of old property around here is marked off through trees. Mm-hmm. That's how they did it. They didn't have fence posts or whatever they did. It was
iron
just
rebar.
Right. It was fence trees. And, you know, why are some trees here? Why are some trees not? There's a cluster of trees going up on the right, headed up towards Dover. It's a perfect circle of trees. You only see it because you don't see it from
tree henge.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Maybe.
You made that up.
I made that up.
I like that. But you don't see that stuff. And so there's a lot of cool stuff if we just take a second to stop and take a look at it.
There is. There is.
Very cool. So you're doing photography.
I am
see
doing
that.
Photography, yeah.
Is this? Here's a question. If we had a camera store, and this is kind of funny because I know your wife's family had the camera store down in Rehoboth. If we had a camera store, would you go hang out? Would you go check it out? I guess the question is really, is there a way we can start coming back to some of these, bringing back some small businesses? Or are we just fucking stuck to buying everything online? I mean, Amazon's getting on my nerves.
So the camera store thing would be a hard one, I think, just because of the breadth of stuff that's out there now. Right. You know, Canon, Nikon, Fuji, Sony, you know, and then what do you support? But some of the other ancillary services they had where they used to do prints and not the prints that come off of you know, like the, you can...
Disposable camera.
Yeah, the stuff that you can get done at Walgreens.
Right.
Not that. So, I mean, I bought a couple of printers to be able to print my prints off, the gallery stuff. I printed all those. And I'm printing right now. My fascination is with this pearlescent metallic paper. So the prints come off of it looking kind of 3D. They've got this luster and sheen to them that just adds so much depth to the image. I was actually turned on to it from Brian White, who's another local photographer. He comes to the gym, shoots a bunch of sailing stuff, and he brought me in one of these prints, and I'm like, I got to figure out where to get this paper from and start printing this. Yeah, it's little things that get you started. So something like that, I guess.
Well, it's just, I mean, you know, as a kid, I used to, you know, I loved going to the music store. Luckily, we still have those, but I'd hang out and try the guitars and, you know, chit-chat, try out different things, feel different things.
Oh, go to the mall, like, go in this store, go in that store, yeah.
Yeah, and I just, you know, at some of these, like, little local stores, I feel like this whole kind of thing that we've gone through has exposed a lot of this, you know, when shit gets tough, really, our only option is ordering stuff.
Yes.
And... if that, you know, I had ordered some stuff. I wanted a, you know, I have one of those GoPro flex arms that holds my GoPro, but I ordered two more of them because I actually stick other things on them, like, little lights and
or
stuff.
Something. Yeah.
So I ordered a couple more. It took like 2 weeks. There was like this big delay in ordering, which is fine. You know, we've gotten so used to this, you know, next day more.
We have. And this kind of shows that, what supply chain disruptions are, you know, how susceptible we are to them. We've had, you know, at Decal Girl, like shipping a bunch of stuff. Things sit at the post office for 3 or 4 days. They don't scan the package. Stuff's like a week or two late. And, you know, some people are cool with it. Other people are just like, it should have been here in 3 days. I want my money back. And we paid for the postage. We produced the product. We shipped it out. Not everybody gets that.
Right.
You know,
well, we've been kind of
groomed for that.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And, then I get this thing from Amazon that says, oh, by the way, your credit card expired. Your Prime has ended. And I'm like, well, I'm thinking, are you guys slacking, you know, for good reason? But am I, you know, is this for, you know, what's going on? Or is this because my Prime expired? And if that was the case, was it that bad that it took that long? I mean, I got it. I'm okay. You know, it didn't take 2 days. I mean... I don't know. I guess it requires maybe a little effort and a little give and take, a little give on my part. But you know, maybe I'm just fantasizing. Bring back like some small businesses that I'd love to own. You know, I'd love to own is like a little store that sold like podcast equipment.
Well, you know,
headphones. I mean, mics
and then
cables.
Let's be honest about down here. Part of the problem is that it is expensive.
Yeah.
To have a store down here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, and that conversation's come up quite a few times on different things that I've watched and with different business owners is that, you know, a lot of these the only way a lot of these businesses are going to recover is if that there is some give and take in rent.
Yeah. and honestly, that, if we had had a landlord, it would have been significantly different, but because, you know, we had gone through the expense of buying, and I mean, the bank is the landlord for all intents and purposes, but
you're still giving somebody some money.
We were giving somebody a bunch of money, but we were able to structure it as such that, okay, so the gym's income is down significantly. The gym does not have to pay rent this month. The holding company we have that technically owns the building had enough money to pay that month's mortgage payment without the gym.
Right.
You know, because you save up throughout the year because property taxes are $7,000. Like, our water bill every 3 months from the city of Rehoboth is $1,000. Our insurance is $2,000 a quarter. And that's just for the holding company that owns the building. So, you know, it doesn't make money. It just accumulates money and then spends it as these expenses come in. So our cushion that we had built up, we spent to make, you know, so the bank had it. You know, and the timing was pretty bad, too. So I was slated to go to Sri Lanka with some friends of mine, Tokyo and Sri Lanka. It's kind of a repeat of that Romanian thing I did last year.
A little scooter adventure?
Well, this time it was going to be on rickshaws across.
Nice.
But that
guy. Wait a minute, you were going to make someone pull your ass around the country on a rickshaw?
No, no, no. The motorized, like, oh. three-wheeled ones. So we had three rickshaws, six people, and then the event got canceled. So the airfare, the entry fees, all that stuff got refunded to a credit card. Zoe and Amanda had been scheduled to go April 10th on a Disney cruise. Like, that was their mother-daughter thing that they were going to do. That got canceled. That got refunded to a credit card. So
you're lucky you got refunded.
Yeah. Well, I'm still actually waiting on some airfare refunds, but yeah. 4 months later. But the point is that we had these credits that were coming back. I mean, money that we had already spent and we had paid the credit card off or whatever. So we spent the past 3 months basically living off that. Everything went on that credit card because it had a negative balance.
Right.
So we didn't have to draw paychecks. We didn't have to... You know, because we had already tapped savings and home equity lines of credit and everything to keep everything flush and solvent.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I had to, obviously, what I do is much smaller scale than what you do. But still, you know, I was just talking about this. We live, you know, everybody thinks, you know, we're all rich. You know, we're all, you can have as much money as you want. You live to that limit. And then, you know, when it comes to replacing your driveway, you don't have the money for it.
Right.
Whoever, however much, unless you're, you know, super rich or something. Yes. But, you know, I was offered, I pay rent. I do not own the building, and the landlord was nice enough. I say nice enough to give me a break, you know, to, you know, pay just half the rent. I personally think they should have just said, no, don't pay the rent for the month, but won't get into that. But they offered me, listen, they said, just pay the half the rent. I was like, I'm never going to have enough money to pay you back. Right. I'm just going to pay it. And luckily I was able to. I actually was able to get a little of that PPP. Mm-hmm. I'm the only person on payroll. I'm the only person that works there. And so I got that. That helped. It was a little bizarre. I felt I wasn't even going to do it. I was like, I'm not applying for that. And Carlos was like, Tom, apply. What's the matter with you? I'm like, all right, I'll try. And I actually got a little money. But the, you know, it was crazy.
Yeah, it's the whole process was, I did actually get kind of irate with my bank over it because, it was just a mess. And you're sitting here and, you know, there are those of us that were actually depending on it, you know, where I'm like, okay, if we get this, then we're good for this, you know, and... you're reading the news or watching the news or whatever, reading it that, you know, here's, you know, the Lakers are getting $5 million. They're getting this, they're getting that. And I'm like, literally, I just want enough to pay people for 6 weeks or whatever and help out with the rent because income is a fraction of what it is on a normal given month.
Right.
And so I had to apply some pressure to the bank. To get it through, and then they did.
Just give them the iron hand.
I was like, I literally will take everything from you. I will transfer the mortgages. I will do this. I will do that. I will pull every company account I have, and I will go elsewhere. Like, you have got to make this right. You've got to fix this because there's some screw up.
Was that someplace. A local? We won't say the bank.
No, we won't
was
say
that,
the bank.
Was it a local bank?
It was a local bank, and they came through. They called. They're like, we got your SBN numbers or whatever it was that I got it, and I got. Choked up and started tearing up because, you know, you just, it's tough.
Well,
you know?
And in your defense, because, you know, it's tough.
Yeah.
And, you know, you, like you said, we've never gone through this. I had my loan through a community or I'll say the bank, Community Bank. That's the only bank that would give me a loan. Thank you, Community Bank. And, they were amazing. I mean, they, you know, I filed for that PPP. They gave, I mean, I talked to him on Wednesday. I've signed the forms on Friday. It was in my account on Wednesday.
Yeah, mine was much longer than that. Yeah, it took some time.
Much smaller, I'm sure. But they were very helpful. I used a local payroll company. They provided me with everything I needed to give to the bank. So
yeah.
But you know the so what does it take? I mean, so I guess the first. What does that even mean to us now? On the first, we're going to open.
Yeah.
Do you have restrictions?
We do.
What's
so,
that picture look like for you?
So for gyms, there is a mask required.
Okay.
So people have got to wear some semblance of a mask. So cloth face covering, surgical mask, whatever it is.
I bet you've, and this, they just announced this 2 days ago. that they've now determined that you cannot catch the coronavirus from picking it up off a surface.
Well, they didn't say you couldn't. They just said that it was extremely unlikely. But at the same time, we're required to, and I mean, you've been in the gym. Yep. I mean, that place is, it's immaculate.
Right.
Like, we keep it clean. There's right. disinfectant stuff everywhere. There, what is it? You got to keep people 6 feet apart. So I had come up with some pictogram style signs for people to kind of explain how to work out, because I don't want to shut down equipment.
Right.
You know, if you come in here and you want to use the Jacob's ladder, and there's somebody on the treadmill right next to the Jacob's ladder, well, just wait till they're done, then jump on the Jacob's ladder, because the pictograms say leave every other piece of cardio equipment open.
Right.
But, you know, if me and Amanda are in there, or me and my workout partner are training together, like, the two of us can be together and then leave a space for a stranger, you know?
So you can have a workout partner.
Well, I that's my interpretation. I'm right. like, how am I supposed to bench press something without a spotter?
Right.
You know, or squat or do something.
Absolutely.
You know,
safety.
Safety. And if it's, especially if it's same household, like we have, you know, husbands and wives that come in, am I supposed to tell them to stay 6 feet away?
Well, I had talked to a local cop and he was like, listen, we're not going to be putting our face against windows and looking in places. You know, if somebody calls and complains, we'll have to show up and we'll have to have a conversation. And if everything is in the right, we're not bothering you.
Our thing is just like, look, be courteous right. and give people their space.
And snitches get stitches. What?
We actually have t-shirts that have a mask on the back of them and it says, this sucks for us too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the other thing that's kind of going on is that now people are kind of having this revolution, like, we don't want to wear any masks.
Yeah.
And now if you're wearing a mask, people are like, geez, it's like now you're becoming part of the problem. Can you continue with the mask? And like, fuck, I don't know what to do.
I don't either. I mean, there's a time and a place. You know, we had a carbon monoxide detector call the other day, and both of the people that I sent in, I was like, have your mask on. We don't know the person's house. We don't know what they've got, you know. So keep a mask on.
Right.
When you're going in there and checking to make sure that there's no problem. But
I think there's some people who like masks.
I think there are too.
It's bizarre.
I got this neck gaiter thing on, and I ordered 1,000 of them that have this cool rise herringbone pattern. And they're not terrible to run in either. So I'm like, let me get something lightweight like this. So we've got it. The idea was that anybody that kept their membership active throughout this, like, here's a free neck gaiter that you can use as a cloth face covering.
Right.
That's kind of a cool local pattern. And then we've got them for anybody else. But I mean, if somebody comes to the front desk and complains that, well, I'm not going to work out without a mask or with a mask on, man, it's not our rules. Like, we're just trying to get the doors open and get back to normal. And hopefully, like, this normal comes sooner rather than later. We lost a massive amount of members. So many people drop off.
Yeah.
And I get some of them, you know, they lost their jobs. Others, not so much. But, you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. And like any other business owner, we need the people back.
And it's like, you know, it's like Carlos, you know, they lost a lot of membership. But it's not that they lost them. They just had this membership that, you know, constantly paid every month and mm-hmm. this, you know, automatic pay. And they just put it on hold.
Yeah.
I mean, which made sense. Carlos understood. I mean, I'm sure you understood. But eventually, we're going to start wanting to get fit again. We're going to start working out. You didn't do that. It wasn't just a whim. So they'll be back.
They will at some point. I mean, you've got some that are like, I'm not sure when it'll be. And okay, I understand that. I don't really take offense to anybody that had done that.
No.
We had people that, you know, if there was the slightest bit of, I'm not going to say pushback, but, you know, why are you still charging me because, you know, the gym's closed? Well, you know, we said why. We announced this publicly, but here's a refund.
Yeah.
I just give them the money back because I don't want somebody going around being like,
and don't come back. No, I'm just kidding.
They'd be like, this greedy asshole did such and such. Well, no, that's not what it's about.
And it's anytime something like this, or clearly not to this extreme, but something like that comes out, sometimes that's the kind of reaction a lot of people get. Just like they've just been waiting to just snap.
Yeah.
And I know the, you know, I do chair rental. I couldn't even tell. I couldn't even ask him for the rent. I was like, don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
That was the Pilates girls as you come in the gym last month. I was like, no, you don't worry about it.
Yeah. I said, just take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to charge you for rent for the, I mean, the salon was here. It was open, but I mean, it wasn't open actually. It wasn't open. So yeah. It was fine. I'm just glad that we are on a path coming out of it. You know, I'm glad that, you know, we're opening stuff up. I made reservations to go eat Thompson Island.
Nice.
Never been there.
It was good. We went for the soft opening with the fire company.
Right. No, I mean, I've never been at all. I mean, I didn't go when they were open. I haven't done anything. Oh, did they already do a soft opening for this?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't get invited.
Yeah.
Fuck them. I ain't going there. That's it. I've had it. Well, I feel bad for these restaurants. You know, there was a time when you have a bad weekend and they could threaten to close down.
Yeah, I man, I can't tell you how often I've eaten from the taco truck. I'm just over there and just, hey guys, like big tip, big tip, big tip. Like they're slammed.
Well, and I had this, you know, I was laying in bed. I'm like, maybe we should like pay for the table next to us. You know, like the empty table. I mean, maybe we should all as a group of four pitch in and pay for the table that isn't there. You know, to try to help. And then I'm like, oh, I'm not sure everybody's going to jump on board on that.
No. I'm like, just tip the people you know, right. You know, tip them well. And then I think it just, I don't know. I look out for the community.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, like we're all going through the same thing.
Yep.
You know, what seems overwhelming and stressful to me, may not bother you, but it might be something like this. This is just rough for everybody. And I think just a little compassion and kind of sense of community with that.
The part that's been a little rough is that like I never got sick. I never even caught anything. And I've only, my sister-in-law caught the coronavirus, but she lives up in New Jersey and worked at a doctor's office, was exposed and was sick within 2 days. It wasn't like she didn't carry it around for 14 days. It
right.
Was, you know, I think that asymptomatic part of it is what really gets annoying because you can carry it around for 14 days. You're like, oh, damn.
Well, and especially in the middle of allergy season too, you got that like tickle in the back of your throat and you're like, oh no, do I have it?
Oh God, am I going to cough?
Yeah.
Who's looking?
No, that's the worst when you got a sneeze or a tickle in your throat and you're like, I can't, hold on. You know. Yeah.
Just a minute.
Yep.
Well, I think if I was going to step back and take a look at the hardest part for this, for me, is really just my kids. You know, the schooling, you know, and they're all doing the best they can. But
how old are your kids now? Younger.
7, 9, 14.
Yeah. Those are the ones where, you know, they're used to so much social interaction, mm-hmm. and then it just stopped.
It stopped, and it kind of like, you know, if this had happened now, like when it was warm, the kids would have been outside.
Yeah.
We've been out riding bikes. We've been out doing all this stuff. But it hit. It got cold.
Miserable.
It got miserable.
Yep.
And we all just went inside, which is fine. Probably, it probably happened at the best time, really, as far as weather went. But they've really just lost their motivation. I'm like, why don't you get up? Okay. What do you want me to do? I don't know.
Yeah, my 16-year-old just naps right
now. Go back to bed, then. I don't care.
That's her, like, does a little bit of schoolwork. But, yeah, I mean, she had a rough time with it. So she was 2 weeks away from being finished driver's ed when they shut school down.
Yeah.
So does not have her blue slip, did not finish the exam, did not finish the driving time. Turned 16 yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, Z, happy birthday.
Yeah, that's your buddy.
Yeah, and, you know. Can't drive. May be able to drive in the
fall.
What
was that skateboard thing you guys are doing? Are you guys doing some skateboard stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, I...
That was kind of cool. Was that Amanda on the skateboard?
That was Zoe.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought she had long hair. Did she cut it?
She had it up in braids in the back with a hoodie on. Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, I just...
What was that? What did it say?
Was it God... Guns and Guts Made America Free. It was just kind of a funny board that James had at First State Skate Supply when I was over there. I was like, ah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take that one.
And that's where? Skate, where's that?
First State Skate Supply. So
First State Skate Supply.
The skate truck.
Okay.
Have you seen it around?
No.
So James, that used to work at Liquid, you know, Liquid Shutdown.
Yep. What's going on there? I don't even know.
Nothing. I mean, it's La Vida Hospitality's offices now.
Oh, okay.
So James, with a business partner, bought an old like service truck and actually has a mobile skate shop.
Wow.
So he was, I hit him up. I skated the other day for the first time in years, had a blast, and it was with this crappy old like $15 board I'd bought years ago to cart stuff around at the racetrack. So I hit him up and I was like, hey man, I want a proper skateboard again so I could start playing. And he let me know the next time he was there at like where Taco Rio is.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over, grabbed a burrito, went through stuff with him, picked the board out, picked everything out. He built it, went to the fire company, handled something, came back over. Presto, I have a skateboard.
It's a nice board.
Yeah.
I saw the picture. It was cool.
Yeah.
I rode on one of the, I call it the Devil's Chariot, one of my kids' contraptions a couple months ago, or a couple years ago, a couple summers ago, down the driveway. I was like, yeah, this is awesome. And that bitch flipped right out from under me. I landed straight on my back.
Oh, no.
On the asphalt. And the wind went out. I didn't break anything, but it just was a little reminder I have to be careful.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, cutting hair, I mean, I literally have to have all my arms and legs. I couldn't, like, have a cast. And it was a little scary. It was an awakening for me that I'm getting old, for a little too old for that shit.
Yeah, I had one of those a couple of weeks ago. It was not skateboard related. I will not say what I was doing, but I may have been mildly concussed.
Yes.
And I just sat up, and everybody heard my head hit, and I sat up, and they're like, oh, my God, are you okay? And I'm like, my head's ringing. I'm like, give me a second. I'm just assessing to make sure that, you know, I am in fact okay. And I was a bit dizzy and out of it for a couple of days. It was
when I hit, all the wind went out, and my son, it was me and Sam, we were going down the driveway racing. I flipped out, crashed. He crashed across the street. My other son's like, Daddy, Sam, Daddy, Daddy, do you want me to help you or Sam? I'm like, help Sam. I mean, I couldn't breathe. It was it was crazy. And I was like, Jesus Christ. And my back still hurts. I think I shook all of my ribs and their connections loose.
It's like Carlos is like, maybe we should grab skateboards and go head to Epworth. And I was like, nah, man, concrete is so forgiving. Let's go back to wood that we used to ride back when we were 13, you know?
Yeah. Carlos on the skateboard. He's crazy. He's so funny. You want to come run with us?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
We run Tuesdays and Thursdays.
What time?
6:30.
I can do it.
Start at my house.
I'm up at, I'm usually up at 5 a.m. anyway.
Yeah, well, just listen, we're not racing. It's just...
I do not race.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to stop it.
No, you know me.
I do know you. Thank you. Good reminder. Never mind. Because you'll fucking have a starting line, and then we'll have a finish line, and we'll have water stations.
I'll throw a 25-pound pack on or something.
There you go.
That's it. That is the equalizer. I'm like, I just perform better when I'm underweight.
Yeah, I just like, it's just really, you know, you work out for your reasons. I'm a true believer that, you know, I don't live unless I suffer. And that word suffer goes many ways in a lot of people's heads. But the reality is it's just a sucky task. What's that say?
Pain, suffering, and misery.
Yeah. Right, you don't live unless you suffer.
Yeah.
You know, we'll run by this bridge. I've said it 100 times. I can look over that bridge. If I woke up on that bridge and looked over the rail, I'd be like, yeah, that's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But when I run to that bridge, it's fucking beautiful, and I feel like I'm capable and able to do anything that I want. That wall of, like, that self-centered ego and bullshit just falls away as I suffer along.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's important. I get
that. Like, the arduous stuff.
And then there's the other side that says, oh, that's all chemicals and electricity and all this shit. I think it's spiritual. I think it's spirituality going on there.
I tend to agree with that, too. It is just... You know, you get to a certain headspace and it just kind of opens up and then.
Well, and Carlos, he's a great example. You know, he's miserable. And he, you know, I spent 20 years running with my buddy James. Me and James would talk and chat. We could run and talk about everything and just have a blast taking pictures. Eh. See, Carlos, good morning. He doesn't even say good morning. He's just so annoyed that he's even having to do it. But, you know, a couple miles into it, you know, we usually get back together over at the outlets, and he's like, you can see the the annoyance off his face a little bit. And by the time we're done, he's like, man, that was just great. So
he needs that.
Fucking chasing the demons out of him.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that the other day. I was like, oh, I want to be out there.
Come with us. I mean, listen, anybody who wants to run in the morning, you can join us. Be at my house 6:30. And the nice thing about the commitment is that unless it's raining, we're running. You know, wind, cold.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that bad.
No, it's
I always
not.
Say it's 20 degrees colder in my house through the window.
Right.
But once I get outside and by the corner, I'm like, ah, this ain't so bad.
Yeah, and I like, I actually don't mind running in the rain either.
I don't, well, it depends.
As long as my glasses are off.
Right, and like, as long as my shoes aren't wet. When your shoes get wet, dude, I've done it.
Yeah.
I've run in the pouring rain, and I'm like, I'm running in the rain, it's amazing. And all of a sudden, it runs down your legs, and your feet get wet. And
yeah.
That's
blister.
But this is nice when you can go for a run, and it's just sprinkling, and you got like a windbreaker on, and it's
like nature's air conditioning, man. That's that one, it's actually would have been going on right now, that Amanda and I would always go to Vermont to do that 100 miler through the mountains where you have 48 hours to do 100 miles through some gnarly single track terrain.
That'd be crazy.
That's miserable.
Yeah.
You do suffer, but it is gorgeous and puts you in the correct headspace. You just appreciate it.
Well, and I would imagine a guy like you you like to stay busy. You get involved in a lot of stuff. I mean, sometimes we can be a little tortured by that shit, and to work out, lifting weights doesn't do the same sort of suffering as like a run does. You know, to me, when I get into my weights and lifting weights, I'm really focusing on physique and improving and becoming something. Running is just
a difference in programming methodology.
Right.
I mean, the guys that I work with, kind of the other business I'm involved with now, Softleet, first and foremost, as a consumer of their product prior to coming on board, their programming is arduous, and it's meant kind of for the tactical athlete. And that's not to say you have to be a cop or a firefighter or military or something like that, but there are some long, drawn-out sort of suffer fest, and it's moving weight and awkward objects, and you know your heart rate's going up and down, and I enjoy that.
Yeah,
I enjoy that challenge.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree. I think there's, I think part of my problem is I'm just getting older. I'm just trying to preserve, you know, my life, and I've gone. You know, I've already told you I hurt my back deadlifting, and I'm still fucked up from it.
Yeah,
and it's
no, I just I go lighter. Anymore. Yeah. Usually it's
stop
lighter.
Deadlifting, Ryan.
Yes. Yeah.
Stop it.
Usually it's light.
It's the most
at this
amazing
point.
Exercise ever. Make your whole body totally strong. Like, don't do it. Don't do it, Ryan.
315. Stop at 315.
Yeah. I think stop there. What's four plates?
405.
That's what got me.
Yeah.
The four plater.
I've gone to, I think, 535. And I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm good. I've hit a 500 pound squat and a 500 pound deadlift. And I'm like,
you know, the problem with it is that you can have this complete philosophy on deadlifting, love it. And then once the injury happens, the whole thing changes. And then you're like, shit. Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, this deadlifting is starting to make my back hurt. It goes from fantastic, at least for me, it went from fantastic to not fantastic.
I mean, I've gotten hurt. I've recovered repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not the deadlift that did it.
You know,
the deadlift just exasperates it, right. You know, but yeah.
Well, listen, man, thanks for coming in. I loved, you're a great friend. I love chatting with you. I'm rooting for you. I hope the gym gets back open. So we're shooting for the first.
Yep.
You know, if people are out there and they want to support a local business coming back online, go check out Rise. I love Rise. I'm just screwed with time right now. And all my kids want to go, when are we going to Rise? When are we going to Rise? I'm like, I don't know, soon. So, but maybe this is the time for us to get back in and support a local business like Rise. The town loves you. So I think it'll, like Matt used to say, in 5 years it won't matter. Let's hope. Hope that's the case.
Right.
But thanks for coming in. I appreciate your photography. I wanted to talk about the photography you were doing, the pictures you were putting up on the wall. I don't know if that was special or just
so, no. No, the pictures on the wall. This is actually...
And how come mine aren't up there?
I didn't get them from you.
Damn it.
So, no, the pictures on the wall. So
where'd you get them from?
I printed them.
You got it from yourself.
I print, but they're not.
I love
mine.
It.
They're not mine.
Oh,
no, no. So, I had planned on putting artwork up at the gym mm-hmm. in that entry foyer. So you've got kind of the gym photos
and that
and the
was
TV.
All gym stuff. The
yes, the entrance foyer before the TV that has the leaderboard or where we have you watch the rock wall orientation. There was an empty span of wall, and I was going to put some of my photos up there. And you know, I was kind of in my head a bit and depressed going through like the shutdown stuff right. and on social media, seeing what everybody else is up to. And Susan McLean put something up and she's Tidewaiter. Her and Kyle Kaminsky have New Wave Imagery together in Lewis. And she was talking about how hard it was for her to shut it down because they had just started it. Like they had just started getting momentum with this studio.
Right.
And now they didn't even know if they'd come out on the other side of this. So it just kind of percolated for a bit. And, you know, it's interesting to see other people go through the same sort of problem. Like,
yeah.
like again, it comes back to all of us are having a hard time dealing with this.
Right.
So about 3 weeks ago, I reached out to her, Kyle, Elliot McGuire, Kim Johnson.
Just, oh, yeah, he's a great guy. He was on the podcast.
Just a bunch of people that I've gotten to know through local photography. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey, I was going to put pictures up in the gym, but I'd like to do pictures from a bunch of different people
mm-hmm.
because there are hundreds of people per day, especially in the summertime, that walk through there, that go past that area. And while it's cool for me to show off some of the stuff that I've done, it might help them out if I put their stuff up there and get them some exposure from somebody who may not have seen them otherwise.
Sure.
And support them. I mean.
Well, that's why I didn't get invited. Fine.
So I know, and because I know most of them make, I'm not going to say a living, but.
Well, that's their living. Elliot's a professor. They're, I mean, I love Elliot. I love his father. They're great people. Oh, was that you, Alpha?
No, it's not me. Wrong channel.
Alpha Delta?
Echo.
Well, and real quick, you are the new fire. Chief?
Captain. Yeah, yeah.
Not What's the number?
Not a chief. 23.
Congratulations.
8623. Yes.
Yeah, and you almost made me join the damn thing. I was like, I think I might be able to do this. And then, stop it.
Why would you not? It is so much fun.
I don't know, man. I just feel I just don't deserve any more fun in my life.
Well, I don't know. Very fulfilling.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks, man.
It's one of the things I always appreciate you about you is that when you do something, you do it right. And you did it right with the Decal Girl. I know that was a lot of Amanda, but you guys did that together and then the right in the gym. And you guys just do a nice job. So I'm sure our town's a little more safer with you as a captain.
We try.
All right,
we try.
Brother.
All right, man.
Well, listen, thank you. Come back again sometime.
I'll see you Tuesday or Thursday.
All right, pal. Oh, good.
Yes.
Well, yep. Okay, good.
All right.
All right, see you, bud.
Later.
Bye.